As a 13-year-old girl, Maboba Rawi found herself on the run. A young student activist had come to the attention of the Soviet occupation forces in Afghanistan. She hid out in Kabul and then made her escape across the mountains into Pakistan. 2 years later, in 1984, she arrived in Australia. Here she was safe. She married and was soon to give birth to a son. Then came an event out of the blue that would turn her life in Australia upside down and draw her back to Afghanistan to attempt to improve the lives of thousands of orphaned children back in her original home country. Maboba Rawi, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Why were you trying to escape? Why did you have to escape Afghanistan?
Well, when Russia invaded Afghanistan, I was a young girl and I was attending a school with 3,000 girls. And the government put so many girls in prison and nobody heard from them. And the leaders we have at school, she's gone. So someone told me to continue her work. All you need to do is jump from the window, ring the bell before the time that school is coming off. So I said, well, if this is what it takes for us to start the protest, I will jump and I'll ring the bell. By ringing the bell, and bring everybody out, and we went to the street, and we all say, Russia, out, out, and we don't want you. And then one day, the police come and surround our house and ask my father for me. And my dad said that I had a daughter named Mahbuba, but she died. So they hide me, and then I forced to leave my country alone with no family, none of my brother and sister at the age of 13. It was a punishment for me to be a leader of 3,000 girls and be up in front and ring this bell. And it's a lot happened to so many younger generation on that particular time.
It's a part of history we don't seem to remember enough or even know too much about. How did you find your way? You managed to make it over the mountains to Pakistan, an extraordinary journey.
Yeah, well, like my dad sent me together with 40 other family, like so many Afghan was walking from Afghanistan to Pakistan. They can't go through Khyber Pass, but they have to go through mountains. And it was the most difficult walk, in my life, and so many people couldn't make it. Some people does walking from one country to another one without any water. You run out of food, and you have to keep walking.
And people dying on the trail.
Yeah, they do. We witnessed so many people couldn't make it, but we have to move on. And I was a young girl without any member of your family and not knowing your future.
You must have been incredibly determined. There must have been something that was driving you on.
It's just that desire of wanting foreigners to go out. Each one of Afghan men, women, children, they become freedom fighter. I think there is something in our blood.
So, as you say, a lot of those who left, who fled the Soviets, turned around, armed up, and went back in again, joined the Mujahideen, fought the Soviets. Your path took you in a different direction. You wound up in Australia. How did you get to Australia? What was the arrangement?
After 2 years being in Pakistan, I come to India. From India, I got married and I come to Australia. And I clearly remember the day that I was in Australia soil. That was the best day of my life. I will call it the country who gave me hope, who gave me safety and security. And I fall in love with the people, the community, the way of life, with the freedom that women have. I remember that one time, because Afghanistan don't have ocean, somebody said to me, Mahbuba, you want to go to see the ocean? And I said, yeah, okay. And I saw women and I said, oh my God, they all naked. And I closed my eyes and then I put my hand out and I said, oh my God, they swim like a fish. In the freedom of the women drive cars, and I didn't know English, but I used body language talking with everybody. Like when I was catching a train or bus, I was very brave little girls when I come to Australia.
Australia has given you a great deal, but it also took something incredibly precious away from you.
It's so sad that when I come to Australia, I really enjoy life, and I thought my nightmare is over because I'm in a safe country. But that changed so much. In 1992, I lost my first son, a tiny, beautifully little boy with black eyes, very smart little boy. He went to Kayama Bulu Hall with the all together seven people for a picnic, and it was month of July, and the weather was horrible, and they don't know how to swim, so they went for one, taking one photo, and the wave come and washed them all out.
This is a famous, for those not who don't come from New South Wales, the Kayama blowhole is a famous tourist spot where the water rushes, the sea rushes through the blowhole, and they swept away your son and
four. Yeah, it's all seven people all together, and my son was included there, and it was the first time that I let my son to go away without me. We never been separated for 6.5 years of his life. But that was the first time. But of course, that was a shock of my life and turned my life upside down. And I was really depressed for a while.
This little segment is called The Year That Made Me. And what strikes me is that when we asked you what the year was that made you, you named that year that you lost your son.
I always say that losing my son is the best thing in my life and the worst thing in my life. You can't describe the pain. It's like you wounded forever. But the best thing is that I took that pain and sorrow and make it a strength for me to save other children from dying from anger, diseases, starvation. I just promised to myself that I am going to dedicate my life for it. And that's why I established of my organization called Mahbuba's Promise. And that's my promise to give all my life to save children.
So having lost your son, you sought to save other children. Your work in Afghanistan is, well, began with kids who were orphaned.
Yeah, in Afghanistan there is millions of children as orphans, and they lost their mom and dad, and usually they haven't got any government assistance, or not many member of their family can afford, so they're living below poverty. So what I do, I travel to Afghanistan once a year and pick them up from the street, like they're selling water, selling chewing gum, selling plastic bag, and then I take them to Hope Houses. So I got about five Hope Houses, and I focus a lot, heaps, on education. So
what difference does that make to the lives of those children?
Well, children have their safety and security with me, no longer working on the street. And you give them life, you give them future, you give them hope. I'm in a position to give something back to the country and to make them a good leaders. Afghanistan is lacking leaders, so we want to create good leaders for future and not only give positive input to the children, but for the world.
Where do you get the money from to do all this work?
Finding money is very, very challenging. When I started this work, I didn't know how to run a charity, but I am so grateful of so many Aussies put their hand together with me and people from every walk of life. Like I let the door open for everybody. So I worked for 10 years in my garage, and then slowly, slowly, I learned how to establish charity, management committee. Now I got tax deductible government funding. So I grow, it's 22 years. I have to put it this way. I work day and night. And my aim is for the children to be peaceful children in the future.
Is it unusual or difficult to be a woman in Afghanistan running charities?
Yeah, it is, because it's a quite man-dominated country. You have to be a super strong woman for them to listen to you. And sometimes I do face difficulty, but one thing, I will never scare of man. And I keep going and I respect them. I am not against the guy and the man in my country. I know they beautiful people and they've been through so much. They fight, but they don't have to dominate me.
What do you think is the future of Afghanistan?
The future of Afghanistan in the hand of leaders of the world. The future of Afghanistan is not in the Afghanistan people hand. definitely not in the hand of ordinary people. The voting system is always crap. And the government, I think the governments fail to make their commitment. I travel to Afghanistan once a year, and every year I go, it goes from worse to worse.
You have a son, Naveed, who has grown to adulthood. You must be immensely proud of him.
After I lost a son, I prayed to God for so many years. I want my son back. And after 3 years, now he'd come to this world. But from the moment that he came, I always thought, this is my son. God, give me my son back. But until he was 9 years old, and he said to me, Mom, I am not Arash, I am Naveed. And I want you to love me because of me. And then after that, from the childhood until now, he's a son that I was dreamed to have, a son like this. He's not only a good son for the mother, but he's very good for the community. And I'm, of course, as a mother, I'm proud. And I'm hoping everybody in Afghanistan could have opportunity like my own son. But of course, children over there is lacking all the opportunity.
There's no doubt about that. We asked people to, on this segment of the show, to nominate a song that particularly means something to them. You've nominated Sami Yusuf with a song called You Came to Me. Why this song?
When I lost a son, I went to so many therapies, medication. Nothing in the world helped me except my faith. We have a prophet, which Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And I find so much patience through what he said to me when you lost when you lost somebody, a lost loved one. And that's why I said, you come to me when I need you, when I'm very lonely. So he teaches how to overcome your sadness and sorrow. And that's exactly what I've done.
So wonderful to talk to you, Mabobo Rawi. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
And here is Sami Yusuf with You Came to Me.
You came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light above. Now all I want is to be with you. You are my one true love, taught me to never judge. Now all I is to be with you. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mustafa ala Habibika Nabika Mustafa. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mustafa ala Habibika.
And that is the voice of Sami Yusuf with You Came to Me, the song chosen by my guest for the year that made me, Mabobo Rawi.